3 agenda items for the minute.
Okay, so Dr. Davis Wilson is recused. That still leaves 3. We still have a quorum. So item number 4B, the January 7th executive session from 10:34 to 10:46. Do I have a motion to approve?
I motion to approve. This is Dr. Stenhoff.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? I noticed one item. On the paragraph, where the first line of the paragraph under legal advice executive session.
Dr. Davidson?
I'm not sure if this was intended.
We want to be careful not to disclose the contents of the executive session minutes on the record. So is it just a typo or is there a concept that's not clear?
I think it may be a typo.
Okay, if you can go ahead and explain it without disclosing the content, that's just fine.
It's related to the first line of that paragraph, and it says Disability Determination Division. Is that correct? As opposed to the Division of Developmental Disabilities. There you go.
Can we just ask staff to clarify that and make sure the term is correct? I don't remember the exact content of that discussion, but assuming that the staff clarifies the correct entity, can we have a motion then to approve?
I would vote for that. We already have a motion on the table. Do we need to amend it so that it's pending staff clarification?
That would be fine, yes.
Okay. Any other discussion about these minutes? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item is January 7th, executive session 12:14 to 12:22 p.m. I have a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I motion to approve.
Thank you.
Brian, I'll second.
Excellent. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And finally, we have the January 7th, 2019 executive session beginning at 12:45 p.m. Can I have a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved. This is Dr. Stenhoff, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item number 5, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding recommendation to the board pertaining to approval of behavior analyst applicants. The first applicant is Adrian Weaver, and I will summarize this application.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to let you know that I am recused from this application.
Okay, thank you. Still have a quorum. Okay. Weaver Taylor. This is the application for Adrian Weaver. Ms. Weaver attended U of A from January 8th, 2015 to May 11th, 2018, and a master's in early childhood education, and from 1-8-13 to 5-11-18, also earned a graduate certificate in ABA. Ms. Weaver received $1,500 of supervision at Hope Group under Rachel Bowden from March 2016 to March 30th, 2018, and was certified as a BCBA in November of 2018. I noticed that there was a page missing in this application. It was the second page. On the application itself, if we look at page 35 of the full PDF, the page that follows that is missing. So we end our supervised work experience with question number 4. Did anybody else, does anybody else see that, or that I'm just not seeing?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see it either.
Okay, thank you. Is it possible, board staff, we just missed a page in the packet?
They're checking.
Okay.
It was double-sided, so that's the reason why the scan didn't take it. The second page of the supervised experience verification form was completed, and it was signed by, I don't know if I can pronounce her name, Raquel Elzey. And it looks like she answered yes to questions 5 through 9, 9 with the indication that the supervision took place in Arizona, and question number 10 was answered no. And when she signed it, she did give her license number 209.
For the record, tell me what is question number 10.
Number 10 is, was the supervisor conducting the supervised work experience a relative, subordinate, or employee of the applicant?
Okay.
The answer, no.
Okay. All right.
And it looks like the yes answers are all appropriate for questions 5 through 9.
Okay. So assuming we can get that page into the packet, I don't know any other concerns with this application, and would recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. Are there any other concerns that other members have noted? Hearing none, let's move forward. Thank you. The next applicant is Ann Beefless, and I believe Dr. Davey will summarize that.
Yes. So Ann has completed her application to become a licensed behavior analyst here in the state of Arizona. She was certified by the BACB at the end of November of 2018, and she has completed her documentation. She did note that when she was younger, that she did have brief encounters with authorities regarding a liquor and being a minor. She worked through that and has worked through being a straight male ever since. Her application appears to be complete in all areas. Her supervision has been here in Arizona under a licensed behavior analyst. Her hours are sufficient to meet the $1,500.
Thank you. Members of the committee, are there what are the concerns that you have with this application? Hearing none, I recommend that this application be forwarded to the board for approval. Next, we have Brian Schaefer. Dr. Davis Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Brian Schaefer is coming back to us after we requested additional information regarding his supervision hours. Brian Mr. Schaefer was seen, his application was seen by the committee in October of 2018. During that time, the committee noted that he only completed 1,000 hours of his prep time, and we had advised him to work with his employer on completing the additional 396 hours that were needed. He had completed just over 1,000. It looks like he was able to do so and has subsequently submitted 420 hours that he completed between the periods of November and February 15th of this year. And I see no issues with the hours that have been completed and would recommend his application to be forwarded to the full board.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Any concerns from other members about this application? Hearing none, we'll move this application forward to the board. Next, we have Elaine Ritchie. Dr. Davey?
Yes. Sorry, closing out one more. Oh, that's not me. That's actually Dr. Ray.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I was coughing.
Oh, I thought that was a sign. That one says it's Dr. Ray on mine, but she's not here.
Correct. An updated agenda was emailed to the committee
all
members.
Right. Yeah. Probably have you.
Okay, I can provide a quick summary. Elaine Ritchie attended National University from September of 2013 through March of 2015, and a master's in teaching with an emphasis on ABA. She obtained supervised experience from five different people, Melissa Schweitzer, Tracy Sharkey, Sarah Lee, Marianne Garcia, and Kyle Gravel, for a total of 1,537 hours. She earned her BCBA in November of 2015. I don't know of other concerns with this application. But honestly, I didn't. Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions, concerns about this application?
I apologize, I was working off an old agenda. What I can do is I'll go ahead and I can review this one, and if there are concerns, I can pull it out of the consent agreement or the consent notes or whatever that terminology is at the board meeting, and I can review any concerns if there are.
Did that work? Is that necessary?
It's not going to pull anything off the consent agenda in the board meeting and ask it to be reviewed. So I'm just saying if there happens to be anything, then I will circle back on it.
Mr. Chair, I have no notes of any issues with this application.
Mr. Chairman, I do not either.
And I don't either. So, believe we can. So, can we move move this forward to the full board for review?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And next, application we have is for Elena Postulus. May not be saying that right, but Dr. Stoloff, can you review?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, so I reviewed Elena Postulus' application. She graduated from Arizona State University's Master's in Education and Curriculum Instruction. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. She graduated in 2015, and she received 1,500 hours of supervision under Nicole DeWitt. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to backtrack to just as a disclosure, I overlapped in one of her former employments, but I don't feel like that's going to cause any issues with my review of this application. I was not her supervisor or in that capacity. We just worked for at the same agency. So she received 1,500 hours of supervision in Nicole DeWitt. I don't have any concerns in the application and recommend that they forward to board approval. If any other committee members have any concerns.
Hearing none, let's move her application forward. Thank you. The next application we have is for Elias Solano. And disclosure, Elias worked at the same organization that I worked at. I did not supervise him. I only met him a few times. I feel like he'd be objective to this review. So, Mr. Solano attended ASU from May 18th of 2015 through December 12th of 2016, earned a master's in education and curriculum instruction with an emphasis on ABA. He was supervised at Intermountain Centers for Human Development under Kyle Leninger and received 1,589 hours there. He was certified as a BCBA in February of 2018. And I did not note any concerns with this application. Would recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. Are there any concerns of other community members? Okay, hearing none, the next applicant is Eileen Rubenstein. Dr. Davey, can you summarize that application?
Yes, I can. Thank you. here we have another application coming forward for licensed labor analyst in the state of Arizona. Ms. Rubenstein has completed her application. You'll note that she became a certified labor analyst on November 30th, 2018. She worked on her special education master's degree from Ball State University. She has been here in the state working as a behavior therapist since probably, closer to the time she became a BCBA, received her supervision in California. California has no licensure act in place. Her supervisors have attested to over 1,500 hours of supervision while she was working under them in the state of California, and that concludes my comment.
All right, thank you. Any concerns from other committee members about this application? Hearing none, we recommend moving her forward to the board for full approval. Next application is for Maria tarnish Dr. Davis Wilson?
So Ms. Cornish is applying for initial licensure after passing her exam this past November. She completed her master's degree in special education from the University of Arizona in May of 2018, and she completed 1,500 hours through Intermountain Centers for Human Development under the supervision of Kyle Leininger. I see no issues with this application and would recommend it to be forwarded to the full board.
Thank you. And for the record, I also work at Intermountain Center, but I don't know Maria and can be objective in my review. Any concerns from anyone about this application? Hearing none? Moving on to Rachel Krupe. Ms. Krupe attended Kaplan University from August 24th, 2011 through February 19th, 2013, and earned a master's in psychology with an ABA concentration. She had three different supervisors and her experience in the state of Virginia. All supervisors were licensed in Virginia. She worked across two different organizations, Spectrum Behavioral Health Consulting and Rivers Bend Academy, for a total of 1,525 hours. She was board certified as a BCBA in November of 2018. And I did not note any other concerns with this application, would recommend it be forwarded to the board for approval. Any concerns that others have noted? Hearing none, move on to our last applicant, which is Stephanie Bewley. Dr. Snow?
All right, Ms. Bewley graduated from Arizona State University's Master's of Ed in Curriculum Instruction in 2014. She received 1,579 hours of supervision under Andrew Gardner and Trina Spencer. I don't have any concerns with the application. Recommend forwarding it to the board for approval.
Thank you. Any concerns noted by any other members? Hearing none, we recommend moving her forward to the board. So we have 10 applicants and all are recommended for approval to the board. Can I have a motion to that effect?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Stenoff. I recommend moving Adrian Weaver, Ann Gifflis, Brian Schaefer, Delaine Ritchie, Elena Postumus, Eli Solano, Irene Uberstein, Maria Cornish, Rachel Krupe, and Stephanie Bewley for forward to the board for approval.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is item number 6, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding requests for reactivation of an inactive license from Brandy Maleski.
Mr. Chair, I am recused from this item.
Okay. Thank you. So we have as I looked at the her application for becoming active again, I saw no concerns with it. Dr. Raitz had reviewed the application, and Dr. Raitz recommended that Ms. Nowitzki meet the requirements for a reactivation license. Does anyone have any concerns?
Just having this be the first one of these that I'm just interested if board staff, if this is, obviously we reviewed it, it looks good, if board staff agrees that she's gone through the proper procedure, just not being fully, having experienced this in the past, I don't think too many have experienced one of these. Does board staff have anything to add, or is it just that she's followed it perfectly?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is Heather. Yeah, when we get a reactivation request, we send it to the committee member who volunteered, which is Dr. Raitz, to review these. And then when board staff receives the recommendation back from the committee member, then we send it to the committee for review. So that's the typical procedure. Board staff does not substantively do a review.
Very good. Exciting. I'll go ahead and make the motion then to accept your application for reactivation.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
A second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item on the agenda is item number 7, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding update to behavior analyst application.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Jenna. We've submitted, or Kathy, you had a question on the number 20. Did we, or are we going to put that on the future agenda?
No.
Okay. We'll have one change for next month. We are still working with ADOA on the online application. It is still the old application, and they are trying to remove the link until they can get the proper form updated. But unfortunately, with this new e-licensing system, they're not able to do it, and we're on hold right now because they're bringing on a new agency onto the e-licensing system. So it's been very frustrating, and I'm sorry I don't have more positive news, but we hope to have an update next month.
Mr. Chair, if I could just point out one minor typo since they're talking about this.
Yes.
Staff, if we go to page 5, very bottom, answers to questions 23 and 24 are confidential. I believe that should read answers to question 22 and 23 are confidential.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Thank you.
So, is it?
Thank you.
So Jenna, can we, is it appropriate for us to discuss the changes that have been made already, or do you, are you recommending that we wait to do this until further clearance?
I didn't understand. I'm sorry, I can't hear very well.
Are you recommending that we wait, that we hold discussion on the current changes, the items highlighted in yellow, the strike-throughs on the document we're looking at? Should we have a discussion about those items now, or are you suggesting that we wait and hold that discussion for later?
No, you can... We do have an action on for the updated application. You can certainly go ahead and approve those if you're accept if those are acceptable to you.
I would like to discuss them before we approve them.
Okay.
So I'm revisited my notes And I'm not sure where this came from a prior discussion, a markup I have on an earlier version of this document. This relates to item number 2 sections of the application. One section is on page 5, it's 21C. Did the experience include designing, implementing, and monitoring skill acquisition and behavior reduction programs? And related to that, it relates to page 9 of the same PDF document. This is supervised work experience. Item number 3C, which reads, did the work experience or field work include the following overseeing the implementation of behavior analytic programs by others? We had, not that one, 3B. Is that, did the work experience or field work include the following designing, implementing, monitoring, skill acquisition, behavior reduction programs? I get that, and I appreciate that those two questions, both for the supervisor and for the applicant, are now consistent. I just want to follow up on a note that I made in my prior discussion, and I believe that Dr. Davis Wilson mentioned this, that skill acquisition programs requires a curriculum. Is that true?
I'm not sure I'm understanding your question. That a skill acquisition program requires a curriculum? Is that the question?
That is the question. A little more background. These questions used to read designing and implementing and monitoring behavior analytic programs. And now they're broken down into both skill acquisition and behavior reduction. And there's a difference between the applicant answering the question and the supervisor answering that question. Because if somebody had multiple supervisors and one supervisor's focus may have only been on skill acquisition and not behavior reduction. Another supervisor may have only been on behavior reduction and not skill acquisition. Then they would have to answer that question no in the supervision form, unless skill acquisition can include functional communication training to teach alternative behaviors that aid in behavior reduction. But I had somewhere in my notes that a skill acquisition program requires some curriculum, and I had a question mark next to that, and I thought it was Dr. Davis Wilson that mentioned that, and I wanted to follow up on it.
Mr. Chair, I believe that the curriculum I was responding to is the actual supervisor utilizing a curriculum-based supervision approach. So in the standards of supervision, the BACB does require that supervisors have some sort of supervision plan that is, it can be a curriculum that they're using for supervision outside. There's a lot of online programs and other programs. I know CSUN has kind of a supervision curriculum. There's several other supervisor ABA, or as a supervisor, we're required to develop kind of our own curriculum to address all of those. So it wasn't that the skill acquisition itself requires curriculum, it's that supervisors should be developing a curriculum based off of the task list. I do see the question, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the issue is the "and" in that statement. because their total experience, I think you're correct, their total experience needs to include both, because as supervisors, our curriculum should align with the task list, and the task list covers both skill acquisition and behavior reduction. But I could see potentially a supervisor answering no to that. Let's take, for instance, an individual who maybe has worked through Dr. Andy Gardner's telehealth kind of program, and they're conducting behavior assessments, but they're not necessarily doing skill acquisitions with verbal behavior, and so the task list items of verbal behavior may or may not be addressed through him as a supervisor. But then another individual may be that individual may be working under another supervisor in like an EIBI program. And that's where they're targeting those. And so in that case, Supervisor 1 may say, yes, we're doing skill acquisition. I've got, you know, two-year-olds, early language learners, and we're rocking and rolling this. But then the other supervisor saying, no, we're just doing behavior reduction. I think in that situation, what it would require, because I think the issue at hand is that I believe our rules read and. So I think the issue at hand would be that the supervisor would have to answer no and then provide us supplemental information as to why the answer was no. And then we would have to determine whether or not it meets the current rules.
But if the supervisor were not working in EIBI, if the supervisor were working with, let's say, adults, somebody who has trouble managing his responses to an obnoxious neighbor, or somebody who's in college and is avoiding homework, can't seem to get started, whatever, somebody else, or FCT, functional communication training. If they are teaching and monitoring the skills necessary for this behavior reduction plan to work, could they not answer that question yet?
I think they could, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think they absolutely could.
Okay.
And I think that there could be some people who would generalize it as you are suggesting. So they would generalize it and say, hey, yes, it's primarily for the purpose of conducting a behavior assessment for maladaptive behavior. However, there are skill deficits that directly relate to the reason why that's there, or deficits that, or skills that need to be established as far as coping strategies or what have you. But then there's going to be, I think, some supervisors who are going to be very, very black and white about how they describe that, and they might answer no to that. And I think that would be okay so long as they provide kind of that supplemental information and allow for us as the committee to review and approve it.
Yeah,
or
I agree.
All the same.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So that answers a concern of mine. Thank you very much for the clarification. I don't have any other concerns with the revisions to the application as they exist now, the highlighted sections. Anybody else?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Stenhoff. I'm looking at page 4, item 15, and then the third column in that table where it says dates attended. I just had a question about what response is expected here, what desired response, because the heading suggests dates attended, meaning I would assume a range. But the model there, the month, day, year, only suggests one date. So I didn't know if we want to make it clear that we're expecting a range, or maybe that's not the expected. So if it's just when did they start, so date began or date started instead. So
I've encountered that same question depending on how applicants have answered it. But if I followed a solution, and I don't know if that always works, but if they put the date they started and then the degree date, then we could we could generalize. We could extract.
Right. Whatever. Yeah, that's my assumption that they would do. So.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we can certainly amend that.
If you find a way to make it more clear, that would be great. Any other concerns or comments about the changes, the recommended changes as they exist now? I was talking into my muted phone. Thank you for the work you put into this. We will review this again at a later date when we have more information. Is that correct?
I understand.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, this is Heather. So I believe that it's the consensus of the committee to accept the application as is, with a few minor changes to clarify number 15 and to correct the typo on page 5. And then regarding the online application, we can keep you updated at future meetings.
Okay, so this would require a motion for approval then?
Yes.
Please.
All right, thank you. Can I have a motion?
Yeah, this is Dr. Chen. Can I have a motion? I'll second then.
All right. We have a motion and a second.
Do we need to vote even? I mean, that's like, all right, dude.
Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the application with minor changes? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. The next item is item number 8, discussion consideration possible action regarding 5-year rules review.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Jenna. So it is required that we do a 5-year rule review on the BA rules. And so I sent you all some questions that I've hired a rule writer to help with this process. But are there, I know that we're going to have to do a fine tuning of the rules this coming year. So this process, we can outline the rules we want to change, but we don't need to get into the specifics of the actual wording at this time. But we need to be able to identify any rules that you wish to repeal at this time, if there are any. And we just kind of want to do a 40,000-foot level evaluation of the rules to get a better idea and to present in this review to GIRC what is working, what may be being looked at in a future thing. Because, as you know, whenever we want to do a rule change, we have to get the governor's exemption to the rules moratorium, and then we go through the standard rule process. So this again is simply to give an overview and identify certain rules that maybe needed to be repealed, which can be done during this rule review, but changes will have to be done separately. Does that make sense?
I think so. So if we know of anything right now that we see could be repealed down the road, this would be the time to say so, and why?
Repealed, similarly, or?
Yeah, so similarly, if we see something that could be amended, now would be the time to say so, and why?
Yes.
So let's open this up to committee members' discussion. Anything, concerns that you have, any recommendations you have for repealing or amending any of our current rules. But we're looking at the ones that were approved on 12-12 of 18, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. I have two things that I noticed. One would be on page 10, and it's related to the item number 5, effective, and I'm sorry, I'm looking at my paper copy, so I better, I'm looking at the nature, item number 5 says the nature of supervision, and it's page number 10. Specifically, I'm looking down at the effective supervision includes lowercase I developing performance expectations, lowercase I observing the supervisee. And in that, we have an issue, not an issue, but we have a statement, in person, on-site observation is preferred, but use of web camera, videotape, video conferencing, or a similar means that provides synchronous observation is acceptable. And I think what we need to say is synchronous or asynchronous, as I believe that the BACB still allows that.
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware that the BACB allows that. I believe their requirement is synchronous as well.
Then hopefully you can help me find that. Looking in the experience standards. Okay, I'm looking on page, it would be page, counting the cover, 1, 2, 3 of the experience standards from the BACB.
Mr. Chair, I do stand corrected. They did add asynchronous, which is a new allowable format effective in the monthly system.
I honestly thought that it was there all along. And I believe that, personally, one of my most powerful learning experiences was to be able to watch myself and critique myself with feedback from a mentor. And we have the word videotape included in our rules, but if it has to be synchronous, what good is the videotape? I'm hoping that we can add asynchronous to that and allow that. The other thing I had was I noticed, and we brought this up. I'm sorry, someone else.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we move on from that item, can I offer another suggestion for 5A2?
Yes, please.
Instead of using the word videotape, I suggest to use video record, as tape is becoming obsolete. And I know it's splitting hairs here, but just to make a slight change.
I think that's a great change. I'll have to, I think my Betamax just died on me. Any other suggestions or comments about this? And if I understand correctly, we do not have to get into the weeds. We just have to identify portions of the rules that we will want to change down the road. Is that correct, Ms. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have one.
Go ahead.
I was going to say on page 11 under coursework requirement B. So A does preclude anybody from January 1st, 2015 or earlier from having to follow section B. However, I am concerned that we are discouraging some very, very highly qualified behavior analysts from being able to practice in the state by not reconsidering B to match a standard that's equivalent to the BACB. So there are two considerations for this. One, that 270 classroom hours, and the breakdown of the hours is getting ready to change again. It's set to change in 2022. However, university programs are already starting to make the changes now because that's allowable for incoming students. And so I think that having it this prescribed is problematic. I also am aware that we have had some very difficult conversations with some behavior analysts who are more than qualified and can practice in several states, but because they did a 10-year teaching program versus the actual 270 hours, it's precluded them from being able to get through. So I would like to see that section be more like we did with the supervision section, where it's not as prescribed, but it's more aligned with current standards, so that as standards change, we're able to accommodate some of that as well.
I would like to see that as well. I'm worried about, let's say, the current standards of the BACB don't go into effect till 2020, and at that time there'll be more than 270 hours required. But if somebody takes courses that have already been changed, and they're applying for licensure before 2020, we need to be able to accommodate for them, and I know that's what you're saying. Is it possible to make a statement in here, and rather than breaking down all of the specific content areas per hours, could we not say something like we said with supervised experience, that the coursework met the standards adopted by the BACB at the time this person took the courses, and then we would have to have some way to go back and say, okay, 5 years ago, what was the standard? But is that possible?
That would be my recommendation, is that we consider looking at that section and devising language that would allow for us to accommodate, again, those highly qualified individuals who may come in under an option. I'm thinking of one applicant in particular that developed a very well-renowned autism ABA program, and we were unable to license that individual. And so I have some concerns with that, where we're kind of discouraging, again, that high quality, some of the best in our field who are developing very, very good programs just because they had an alternative pathway. So that would be my recommendation, is that we when the time comes and board staff gives us kind of the okay, that we work to revise that language to be similar to what we did with the supervision experience.
And Mr. Chairman, committee members, that's totally fine. Like I said, we don't have to drill down into the details right now. We can just outline that the committee will be looking at this area and submitting it to the board for consideration.
Excellent. Can I just make a couple? With that, can I make just a couple few high-level comments as well, things I'd like to make sure we look at?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that particularly under 26.43A, where we're outlining now what the application looks like, and as we're messing with the application right now, when if this does get opened up, that we make sure that entire section is aligned appropriately, considering some of the overhaul board staff and all of us have contributed to that application.
I'm sorry, Dr. Davey, I was coughing when you listed the reference number. Can you say that number again?
It just has to do with linking it back. It's a section that describes the application. I'm just asking that we make sure we align this section with the actual application, because we've been editing the application in its form versus in its written form that's in rule. So I would just ask that we make sure that those stay aligned and that we make sure that. So that's just a procedural issue. Then under 26404 examination requirements, the only thing I would say is this is the first place where BACB term is used. I would just ask that when we go through this that we pay proper deference and provide that the registered trademark that it should have, if that's appropriate to be included in rules language. I'm guessing the rules person will tell us. That goes throughout. There's also a reference to BACB approved course sequence. BACB no longer approves course sequences anymore. That is now a function of ABAI. So we'll need to clean up that language. We also have an issue of the 1,500 hours, which I think we all know we need to work towards the fact that we're moving towards more hours. Everybody already commented on that. I think I already mentioned that section before. Somebody brought that. Oh, the ethical standards code, which references the 2016 publication. That language, I think, when I read it, and we can get into the weeds on this later, it seems like it's set in stone that it's just that particular year, 2016, and that incorporating materials includes no later additions or amendments. I would guess that the code will continually be updated. I would just think that we would pay that, or we would essentially reference the most recent version of the code, not any particular dated code. So I would just ask that throughout. The other thing I would recommend is increasing continuing education requirements to match the BCBA. What's really the difference? Everybody's going to keep their BCBA. Why do we not just set the standard in the state to be 32 hours of CEU versus 30? Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
So, I have additional comments.
Okay, I was just going to ask the board staff if they were able to keep up with
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we may need some clarification on that, so we'll follow up once we re-listen to the tape and try to compare notes. May I make a couple of recommendations?
Yes.
If I may. So, speaking about the application and the renewal application, I know a couple years ago there was a swing to put everything but the kitchen sink and the rules about what you're going to ask on the application. The pendulum is now swung back, and many boards are going to, on a form approved by the board. That way it allows you to make some changes without seeking a rule change and seeking, you know, and having the, it just gives you more flexibility. So in the rules committee discussion with the board the other day, on the psychology portion of the rules, they are making the recommendation that we move to simplify the application and simply adopt wording similar to on a form approved by the board. And basically striking the line that refers to application that says, and provide the following information, and then list 1 through 50 or whatever number, on your case it would be 13, with all the subparts. So it is something to think about. If y'all would be willing to go that way, that would be a recommendation you could make also, if you so desire.
I like it.
Thank you, I do too. Is it possible that same, we could follow that same logic with things that are, that we know will change by the BACB, like the ethical standard, before our next five-year review? Is it possible that we could, say, something to the effect of the BACD professional or ethical standards currently, most recently or most currently in place as approved by the board.
We could look at doing that. I can think of a couple of examples in other agencies where that has been done, and so we can look at doing that for you.
Excellent. Thank you. Who else? A member was going to have some comments.
This is Diana. I had just a couple. Two are pending other findings, but just so that we have them on the radar, that board staff has them on the radar. The fee section, I know that there's some work coming from the SMSA audit that we might need to be looking at that as well. I don't know the extent to that, but just wanted to throw that out there. I also think a section we need to have on the radar is licensed by reciprocity, given the House bill we will be discussing at the next agenda item. But I do think that revisions, should that bill be passed, revisions to that section will also need to be made. And this is probably maybe not even a conversation for this review or for this time, but I do have some kind of concerns with the direction that the Professional and Ethical Compliance Code with the BACB has kind of gone and some of the interpretation components of it. And so I would also not be opposed to us looking at actually doing a review of those specifically and making sure that we're all in agreement that those need to be written into the statute as just a generic, or into the rule as just a generic standard. Again, that's more off the premise of some of the changes that were made from the last code, the guidelines to the Professional Compliance Code, and some of the difficulties in application that I think are going to be very difficult and unfortunate to have to enforce. For example, some of the gift-giving policies as it pertains to supervisees, because many of the supervisors are also employers, and so it's putting people in some very difficult predicaments that I think we just need to have a conversation on. I don't have an idea of what direction to go with it. But I am concerned that it's going to pose some potential problems, and it's feedback that I'm happy to provide to the BACD as well. But I just wanted to bring that up with that section. Also, in continuing education, the BACD has done away with the Type 3, so we will probably want to consider whether or not we want to keep the Type 3 language in the continuing education requirement, which is the language pertinent to, because it's not called Type 3, it's going to be the language pertinent to, I believe, number six. Well, no. I'll find it. Give me just 1 second. I had it pulled up, and then I moved it to look at another thing. I'll try to find it later and let you guys know, but I just want to make sure that now that they've done away with the Type 3, that we're not also still encouraging Type 3, as that might become confusing.
Thank you. You guys have been very thorough. Any other comments? So, Ms. Jones, is this sufficient for what we need to do, what we need to provide you? Do we need to go through those questions that you sent us?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, question number one, have the statutes relevant to the rules been amended during the last 5 years? So, please provide a citation and a law that made it change. Yes, they were amended and they were approved on 12/12/18. I don't have the statute in front of me.
There is also another amendment, Mr. Chair, that was made. We requested to amend the rules, I believe, in 2014, and that initial rule change, I believe, went into effect March of 2018, maybe, and then 2017 or 2018, and then these next amendments went through. So there was a second amendment within that 5-year period.
I remember now. Thank you. Can we move on to the next question, or do you need to track the details down?
No, staff is taking notes, and we'll have the recording.
Okay. Are the rules, question number two, are the rules effective in achieving their objective? If so, what data did you use to reach that conclusion? If not, which rules are not effective and why?
Mr. Chair, I would argue that they have been effective. We have been able to approve, I don't have the exact number, but I would estimate about 95 to 97% of the applications that align with both the statutory requirements and the BACB, and the BACB requirements as well as the rules themselves. So I think it's been fairly beneficial for us to approve applications.
That seems like helpful data.
Yeah.
Do we need to go back to a date by which should it be the beginning of this committee being in operation, or should it go back to the latest amendment or prior amendment? This 97%.
I was going to say, I think that go ahead for board staff.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it might be easier if you let us work on the report. If you have any really outstanding items that meet any of these criteria, if you could maybe outline those for me. Otherwise, we can work on putting together the report and then submitting it to you for your review and consideration.
That's fine with me. So if we just look through these questions and let you know if any no's that we have or any messages where there's substantiation.
Mr. Chair, I would agree with that, because I do think the board staff has all the information probably more readily available and has done a very nice job in putting that stuff together in the past.
I think the questions were just to kind of prompt you to think about areas that we might need to address in the rule review.
Okay.
So,
thank you. Any further discussion regarding item number 8, the rules review? Do you need a motion?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, no, not at this time.
Okay, excellent. Item number 9, discussion, consideration, possible action regarding legislative update.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Jenna. So each year when the legislature starts their session, I start trying to follow bills that may affect either the psychology board or the behavior analyst board or committee. So this year, one of the outstanding bills that we're following is House Bill 2569. The short title is Occupational Licensing Reciprocity. This is a bill that was outlined in the governor's State of the State address, wherein they would like to offer reciprocity of licensure to applicants who are residents of Arizona and are licensed in another state for at least a year. The applicant must be in good standing, not have a pending complaint or investigation, and may not have been disciplined by another regulatory entity. At this time, and I apologize, this is, I sent out a report. I update these each Friday, and it's moving forward. It will be going to the Senate. I know Dr. Davey has been following this as a member of the Legislative Committee, and I just wanted you to be aware of it, because if a person is licensed in another state, and that other state has different requirements than Arizona, they'll still be considered for licensure.
So, for example, someone with less than 1,500 hours.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, correct. They would not have to have the 1,500 hours unless that state required it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I may...
I would just like to point out one other thing that we have through some of my other work nationally. We also have in states, and some of this has been cleaned up and some of it hasn't, where there is direct licensure by a state entity that is absent a BACB credential and absent of really any credentials. And so I think that also becomes an issue for us. When you think about licensure, I know you think, oh, it's maybe an hour's difference, or maybe they had different, you know, just slightly variations. I think the bigger threat is individuals that are licensed as behavior analysts in states that are not adhering to national standards. I'll just put that on the radar as well. Thank you.
Dr. Davey, were you going to say something?
Oh, that's okay. I knew what you meant. I was just basically going to agree or kind of add to kind of what Dr. Davey said, because that is true. The problem is that it seems like it could be kind of a positive direction when it comes to kind of the little hiccup that we have with the 1,500 hours. But we do have to be cautious of states that have requirements that fall below the BACB standards, because we would also be required to approve those individuals for licensure as well.
Yeah, so this is an important one to watch. Has there been any discussion about whether or not licensing boards could add a yes, but, you know.
No, right. Not that we've been updated in the Legislative Committee. I mean, I think all we can ask is that Ms. Jones continue to track this and keep us updated as it does have, you know, it does have effects and continue to, if you have access to your representatives or your senators, to encourage them to think this through. And to pay attention to what this might do in terms of protecting individuals in the state of Arizona.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Jones, are there other of the bills you listed on this document that you want to bring to our attention?
Can somebody help me? What did he say?
I wonder if there's other bills that you think that need to be brought to their attention.
Oh. Mr. Chairman, committee members, that's probably one of the biggest. I provided a list and kind of a short overview of all the other bills. There was, you probably heard through the grapevine, there was a bill requiring that when someone is fingerprinted, it also required a sample of DNA be submitted. Thankfully, that one has been amended and that requirement has been removed. But that was, I was receiving quite a few phone calls on that one. There are many changes afoot that change the processes of boards. Such as 1232. There's just a lot going on this year, but the 2569 is one of the ones we're trying to follow very closely. So If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, no questions?
None here.
Thank you for that update, and look forward to other updates. Item number 10, new items for future meetings.
Mr. Chair, I just have one administrative question. I don't know if it is an agenda item or I just need clarification. With the review of the applications, it's my understanding that we're still to review and be prepared to speak on all of the applications, but have a summary prepared for the ones we're assigned. Am I misinterpreting that? And I could be completely overworking myself, and that's not unusual, but I just want to get clarification from the intent of that.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Heather. Each committee member should review each application.
And this is Jean, because you're going to be making a recommendation to the board, and that recommendation should be informed based upon your entire review of the application, not just a board member's, another committee member's summary of the application.
Thank you for that question and that clarification. Any items for future meetings? Hearing none. I do have one. Our next meeting is March 29th, and I cannot participate on that day. Can I ask another committee member to serve as chair for that day?
Yes, you may.
I'm happy to do so.
Thank you, Dr. Diana Davis. I have to do this lesson. I'm so sorry.
March 29th. CBA, March
29th. Did I get that date correct? March 29th?
Yes. March 29th, yes.
Okay. So we have Dr. Davis Wilson will serve as chair that day, and I will be absent. Anything else before we adjourn?
Just be sure when you get your materials, because we know for sure we'll have one absence. If anyone else has to recuse, please let staff know as soon as you can so we can ensure we have a quorum.
All right, we'll do. I have a motion for adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay.
Thank you.
We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Feel better.
Thank you, guys. Feel better, Dan.
Thank you.
You did great. You're my hero. I wouldn't have fucked it out. Well, thank you.